Well, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an honor it is to gather with our little family, and we just thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, of meeting us here. We know your presence is everywhere. We don't have to come here to meet you, but we do thank you for meeting us when we gather, and the environment of believers together is something that can't be duplicated. When we're alone, really, to that extent, it doesn't seem. And so we thank you for that. And we just pray for a uniformity as we are listening to you, Holy Spirit, as you would lead us in this time of prayer and even time of looking at another psalm this morning. So may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we come to Psalm 46 today. Some feel it's a tack on to 45, and we don't have to argue about all those kinds of things. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm that Martin Luther had quoted, or didn't quote, but had quoted, actually, on his tombstone. And he uses the word fortress instead of refuge. But Psalm 46 in the King James, New King James, anyway, is, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and so forth. So I wanted to begin with this old hymn. Now, you may think this hymn doesn't last, but it actually was written 497 years ago. Not bad for just a tune, right? 497 years, just let's round it off, say 500 years old. So, a mighty fortress is our God. Let's sing verses 1 and 4, I think it is. Why don't we stand for this? Amen. You can be seated. When I think about the ideas that we are so advanced these days and we have moved so far forward, I think about this psalm 3,000 years old. I think about this hymn 500 years old. Well, you know, the people back there seem to have pretty good grasp of what was going on, right?
Yes.
Same God. He doesn't change. I change not, we read in Malachi. Well, Psalm 46, to the chief musician, so this is to be sung, a psalm of the sons of Korah, he's one of the worship leaders, a song for Alamoth. Who knows what Alamoth is? Maybe you could tell us. Actually, it's a Hebrew word for virgin or for young women, basically, and so it means, maybe it means it's a tack on to the last psalm, which was about the bride of Christ, or it may just be that this is such high praise, we want to sing it in a high voice, in a soprano voice, I don't know. But anyway, it's a song for Alamoth. And we read, God is our, I'll read it first, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I remember at 9/11, I heard one of the Calvary pastors from the East Coast was in San Francisco. And of course, when 9/11 happened, every flight and everything else was canceled. So he was desperate to get back to the East Coast. So we rented a car and first drove down with some other people he was with to Southern California. Got a hold of Pastor Chuck, and he said, what do you think? What's going on? Pastor Chuck said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Amen? Amen. This psalm is one for us when we're squeezed by trouble, squeezed by circumstances, maybe dismayed by what we see. And it's believed by most that it was at the time when Sennacherib had conquered all of the northern 10 tribes, and he'd moved into Judah, and he'd conquered all the cities except Jerusalem and Lachish. So Lachish was under siege, and if you've seen pictures of the old hill of that, it was really a strong city, fortified city. So he sends Rabshakeh and a couple of his other high-ranking dudes to Jerusalem, and they're outside the wall saying, you're toast, basically. And they talked in Hebrew, of course, because they wanted to discourage the people. And so the people were on the wall. Oh, don't talk in Hebrew. Please talk in your Babylonian or in your Assyrian language. Well, they boomed out in Hebrew. Our God, Sennacherib, has conquered all other gods that we've come across. They had never been defeated. They're inconquerable. And their signature was a pyramid of heads in front of the city with the skin from the people fastened to the city gates. And they were known for cutting off noses, cutting off ears, putting hooks in the jaw or in the lip, and dragging them off to Assyria. And so most of the cities, and they conquered, I think, over 100 cities in Israel. Most of the cities, of course, surrendered. They would prefer suicide to being fallen into the hand of the dreaded Assyrians. And you read that and you think, how could they be so cruel? Well, they weren't any different than we are today, are they? I don't think so. Every war we have the crimes, you know, of the innocent people being mass graves and all that stuff. And we say, how could that happen? Well, man's wicked heart. You can imagine now they're getting ready for this invasion. Jerusalem is getting ready for this invasion. Now, they had been told by the prophet that not an arrow would fall into the city. But Rabshakeh says, don't believe that God is going to stop you from this mighty king Sennacherib. And so they were expecting then the invasion. And so when we read down here, God shall help her. Her is Jerusalem here in verse 5. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. They get up that morning thinking that this is their last day. They can see at least 185,000 out there, the strongest soldiers in the world, best trained in the world. But they look out this morning and they're all dead. 185,000 dead. Think of that. The biggest, mightiest army in the world, all dead. And we read it was only one angel. And it doesn't even have a name. He could have been Bob or George or Barry or whoever it was. It doesn't say Michael the archangel. It's just an angel killed 185,000. So keep in mind when you think that the odds are really against you and that you have no hope because there's a lot of them out there. Well, this is believed to be the backdrop of this psalm. So we read, God is our refuge, and Luther translates that, or it's translated as fortress. It's used about a dozen times in the Psalms, and almost always it's translated refuge. It could be translated shelter. But he is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help, and that could be translated an abundantly available help. The real key there is he's always there. I mean, AAA is kind of nice when you need him, but you got to call him and you got to wait for him, right? And if you don't have your card updated, you might not even get any help. But nevertheless, he is a very present help in what? Trouble. And if you think you're not going to have trouble in this life, you aren't alive. Because God uses that in such a beautiful way, doesn't he? Now we have for those. So these are circumstances of trouble. Though the earth be removed. Now think of that. Can you think of this earth being removed? I'm not just talking about moved. I'm talking about removed. Even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Think of that. Carried in the midst of the sea. Many people think that's going to happen to Los Angeles. The San Andreas Fault is going to split and away the mountains are going to float into the sea. There have actually been times in the past where people fled from Los Angeles thinking that it was over. I don't know, maybe we need that today. I don't know. Actually, we got a lot of people fleeing anyway. Forget the earthquake. They're fleeing because of taxes and all the other problems, right? But at any rate, though the mountains carried in the midst of the sea, the third though its waters roar and be troubled. I believe now we're even getting into the great tribulation here before we're done with this psalm, and this is one of the places. Though the mountains shake with its swelling. We know in the great tribulation at the end of the seventh bowl will be the greatest earthquake the world has ever seen. And the mountains fled away, it says. And the islands were removed. So those of you who have a refuge there down Hawaii or someplace like that, it's going to be underwater. Under bloody water, probably. Verse 4, I have there is, but it's italics. There is no there is in the original. But it's kind of a pause, almost like lo or behold. Lo, a behold, what? A river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Lo, a river. And so we see here that this is a constant flow. Streams shall make glad the city of our God. And we know when Jesus returns and the mountains split and the temple is going to be established, that there will be water coming from it. Remember, he goes and it's ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and so forth. But there's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. And this is Jerusalem, I believe, city of God. It's going to be referred to in the feminine here. The holy place of the tabernacle. Now, this is actually translatable as Holy of Holies. Where is the Holy of Holies? It's going to be in Jerusalem. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Now, that's only a reflection of what's in heaven, but nevertheless, it is going to be in Jerusalem. God is in the midst of Jerusalem. He will be. I don't know. Well, he's everywhere today, but it's a pretty godless place today, really. God is in the midst of her, and then Jerusalem shall not be moved. Now, we remember up here at the top, we had four things that are going to be moved. Here's one that's not going to be moved. That is Jerusalem eventually. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. I think that's multiple fulfillment. Certainly the near-term fulfillment was the Assyrian army, I believe, as we just mentioned. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. Another thing, it's moved. Kingdoms get moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Wow. That's going to happen. Remember? When we get to the end of chapter 20 in the book of Revelation, and we have a new heaven and a new earth, and we read, the old heaven and the earth have passed away, believed to be melted, believed to be destroyed by fire. God promised never again by flood, but by fire. So the earth melted, I think, is the fulfillment there in that verse, at least the final fulfillment. And then we pause for just a minute. Just listen to this now. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, when is the last time you thought personally the Lord was not with you? And I don't think anybody here can say, oh, I never think of such a thing as that. I am so holy. He's always with me. Well, yeah, he's always with me, but there are times when I can't seem to find him, right? Because he seems so far away. But he is with us. It has nothing to do with my sensations. He is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And now here's an invitation. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who made desolations in the earth. Well, really? That doesn't sound like a very favorable work to me. Desolations. That's coming. It's in the Great Tribulation, I believe. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. We are always concerned about peace treaties today, right? Always trying to get peace between the warring nations. Well, there isn't going to be any peace till Jesus returns. But here, he is the one who makes wars cease. Not just in the Middle East, but in the Middle West, or the Middle, whatever it is, it's what? To the ends of the earth. That's every part of the earth. No more wars. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He does that, not man. He burns the chariots of the fire. He does that, not our great missile protective program or anything else. He does that. And now the final exhortation there, yada, be still, be still. I was mentioning to Phil earlier this morning, I got in the car the other day, and the first thing I did when I turned the engine on is turn the radio on. And I'm thinking, why do you want the radio on? Oh, I want to get caught up on the news. Oh, that'll really cheer you up. So I drove for one of the few times with no sound. And I said, Lord, I want to listen to you. But when's the last time you were still? I mean, we can't even be still in here for 5 seconds, can we? Anyway, that's not the point of it, but be still and what? And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That's not going to happen until after the Great Tribulation. He's not going to be exalted throughout the whole world today. He's not going to be exalted in everybody's heart today, is he? Far, far from it. But he will be. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Well, we could say so much more about this psalm, but just think about what he is telling us here. He is our refuge and strength, abundantly available for help. So are you crying out to him? Are you just sitting around worrying and feeling sorry for yourself? Kind of hard to get much help when you won't receive it. But remember, he is with you. He's with you all the time, but he's certainly with you in trouble. That seems like the times when we forget him most, possibly, because we're focused on the pain and the difficulties and all the things that are going on around us. Well, let's pray, and then we'll come back to this psalm as we close out today. So, Lord, lead us in this prayer time now, and may we pray as led by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. As we come near the end of the hour today, I just wanted to mention a couple, three things you might thank the Lord for. First, the Ukraine. 80% of the wheat has been sown. Isn't that amazing? Because the attacks have all been in the cities. They haven't really been in the farmland. So 80% of the wheat has been sown this spring. Still means the crop will be down at least 20%, which is huge. But it's not like nothing, right? So we need to thank the Lord for that. Also got a picture this week from a Calvary in Svitlovsk, 20 years old. And there's a picture of their new believers class. Over 20 people. They've never been able to get enough people together in 20 years for a new believers class. So you think, how bad about Ukraine? Yes, but the whole issue is coming to the Lord, right? And when do they come? They come with the tragedies. And for the first time, also, I was very thankful this time after Uvalde, which was on the heels of Buffalo, more and more people are speaking out and mentioning three things. After 100 years of Marxist sowing of no God, and the second thing, destroying the family unit, and the third thing, removing the masculinity of men. And when you look at those three things, no wonder you have children with that blank look. They don't know what, you know, they've been told now they were created. They just happened, right? And so we're still teaching evolution, everything against God, right? And so look at the scripture when Israel turned its back, and Israel was founded by God. This nation here was founded partially by God. But Israel was founded by God. They turned their back. What happened? Enemies came out from all sides, all sides. So that's what we've got. And it's been mentioned before. But without God, He is our protector. 9/11, great. You want a wake-up call? Oh, give us a wake-up call. Man, He gave us a wake-up call beyond wake-up calls. 20 years ago, what have we done with it? Continue to turn away from the Lord. So, you know, I pray for peace, but I don't really pray. His peace is not going to be the peace that you like. Well, it is as a believer. But as we keep referring to in the book of Revelation over and over, good news, bad news. It's all good for the believer. It's all bad for the unbeliever. And it's going to be so bad for the unbeliever, you won't even believe how bad it's going to be for the unbeliever, but you're not going to be here, so you don't have to worry about all the details other than to be able to pass on to the others. So just wanted to thank the Lord for that. Wanted to close with a little praise song here. As we get near the end of Psalm 46, God says, be still and know that I am God. And then He says, I will be exalted among the nations. Anytime you see the nations, that's the end times, because there's no other way. And I will be exalted in the earth. So I found this little praise song. And then one of the things I was really attracted to it, I kept going over this tune in my mind. I thought, well, we'll just play it today. It's a YouTube song. It doesn't even have identified who's doing it. I like that, right? I already know who this group is. And it's a little simple song. It repeats two phrases. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow my knee and I'll worship you alone. That's the first phrase. We go over that four times. And then the next phrase is what we're told about here in the psalm. We exalt thee. Lord says, I will be exalted. Here's the family. So I said, we're the family to exalt Him. At least we can sing that. We exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, we exalt Thee. We're going to do that 12 times because there's four times that that is. So listen to this if you would. It just kept going through my mind, and it's unknown who did this really, but it's okay.
voices, let's sing it out again. And we
Father, we do exalt you. Lord, help us to remember these words come off of our lips so easily. God is our refuge and strength, an abundantly available help in trouble. Help these to be more than just words that we say. And I agree in those. Yes, we all agree with it. But are they really ours? And when you say, be still and know that I am God, do I really know that you are God? To hear me talk sometimes, it sounds like I kind of forget that you're God. There are big problems out there, God, you don't know about. You know about everything and you're going to take care of it all. In your time. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So we thank you for meeting us here as we go. This little family goes out. May it make a difference today, Lord. You will give us all opportunities each day. And may we not be so busy with our own things that we don't have time to do the little things that you want us to do. They're not little. They're huge. But to us, they seem little. Because we don't do very much. It's like holding, again, reaching up and holding the handle of a lawnmower and your dad is pushing it and we think we're doing so much. We're so important, but we're really not. But you love us. We're important in your sight. So may we be available. People will watch us. And may they see you in us. In Jesus' name, amen.